I grew up down the street from a Baskin Robbins. That's right, 31 marvelous flavors. And in my house, there was only vanilla. I didn't know what those 31 flavors might be. Whenever I drove by, I thought, you know, I should go in there. Whenever my parents drove me by, I'd say, can we go there? Because I wanted to know, what were those 31 flavors? And now as an adult, I do know. And I realize that ice cream is infinitely more complex than I ever thought possible. Just go to the ice cream aisle at the grocery store. It's not vanilla or chocolate or Neapolitan anymore. Maybe it never was, but in my mind, that's what it used to be. Just go to Royal Scoop. I am baffled by the options. And as soon as I find one I like, they change it because the seasons have changed. Ice cream. Beautiful and wonderful, and everybody has their favorite flavor. Let's just break it down this way. Whose favorite is chocolate? All right. What about vanilla? Any vanilla favorites? All right. Everybody else has picked something else, and that wasn't an option that I gave you ahead of time. Because I didn't give you any options. Right? Ice cream is nuanced and variable and way more complex than we want to admit that it is. And so is our Christian faith. On one hand, Christian faith is very, very simple and easy to understand. And yet, I think there are more denominations and more flavors of church than there are ice cream. Because it is infinitely complex and nuanced as we try to understand God and how we as His disciples live. Throughout this season of Lent, like I said earlier, we're going to be looking at some of the basics of Christian faith, asking ourselves questions that we probably haven't been asked since confirmation or catechism, or maybe never have been asked. It's important that we ask them because you see that Christianity, if we are identifying as Christians, has a reputation in this world. You see, 2/3 of this world, roughly, are not Christian. And many of them have experienced Christianity like Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi was reported to have said this, and I'll paraphrase it. Your Jesus I love very much. Your Christians I do not love much at all. Because your Christians are not much like your Jesus. Ouch, Gandhi. But for 2/3 of the world, that's probably how they understand Christianity. Who we are, who we represent, is misunderstood because we are not like Jesus. And so today I want us to wrestle with the question, what is a Christian? Have you ever asked yourself that question? It's a difficult one. What is a Christian? Well, let's start with this. Let's look from the outside in, which is hardest for those of us like me who are raised in the church. A Christian is a monotheistic religion. They believe in one God, right? Except they get confused because Christians don't know how to count. Because they say God is three and also one. Anybody confused? Me too. We believe in a triune, that God is revealed in triune nature. Three in one. Christians believe in a God that is three and also one. That doesn't make sense. Come on, Christians. Okay, let's set that aside and move on. Christians believe that God is good and all-loving and all-powerful. And yet this all-loving, all-powerful, all-good God commanded genocide. What? Okay, let's move on. That doesn't make sense either. Christians say that there's this guy, Jesus, who walked around in Israel in roughly the first century. He's supposed to have been born of a virgin. Okay, let's set that aside, because that doesn't happen. We all know what happens when teenagers get pregnant, and it's not because they're virgins. This guy walked around, made everybody angry except the poor people. They killed him, and then a couple of days later, his disciples went out and said he was alive again. Right? That's what Christians say. Man, from the outside, we look like a bunch of nut jobs. And that's just the tip of the iceberg for the crazy things we believe about reality and God. What's a Christian? What are we to do with this? Well, I'm going to summarize Christian faith in four words for you. They're all heavy-weighted words, so just forgive me there. Christianity summed up in four words are creation, rebellion, atonement, and sanctification. Let's break it out a little bit more. Christians believe that God created everything and it was good. Free-willed beings, well, some Christians might not say that. Beings rebelled against God, which is the theological concept of fall or sin, right? Creation was good. Creation got broken when we rebelled. So God has done something in reality to bring us back into relationship. That's atonement. God has made us right with God. But that doesn't help us because we're still rebellious, stubborn beings. So God continues to work in us to make us holy. That's sanctification. Christianity in four words. Creation, rebellion, atonement, sanctification. But that still doesn't help us with what is a Christian, right? It just tells us what Christians believe. It tells us what Christians think about the world and how we relate to this idea of divine reality we call God. Let's talk about what a Christian is. And I think we need to start back in Exodus. Thank you, Colleen, for reading this. It starts in Exodus at the beginning of the people of God. Now, you can argue that it goes back all the way to Genesis. You can argue that it goes back into Abraham. Some people might even want to try to argue all the way to Adam and Eve. But really, Christianity starts with Moses. Because Moses is on a mountain talking to God on behalf of a group of slaves that have just become a people, the people Israel, and God gives them their identity. God calls them a kingdom of something. A priestly kingdom. Or a kingdom of priests, depending on your translation. What does a priest do? The original people of God, Israel, at Mount Sinai, were given an identity to be priests. What's the job of the priest? And no, it's not to forgive you. It's not to hear your confession. What do you think? What's the role of a priest? What's the goal of a priesthood? Anyone have any thoughts? This is an interactive part of the sermon. I'm going to stop. All right, so teaching. Okay, that helps. Any others? Oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of people saying it at the same time. I heard one back there. All right, so leading people to God. Was there another one back in the back? Pray, did I hear that? Yeah. Discerning. Someone out there said something. Spread the word. All right, this is all good. You know how we can summarize all of that into one sentence? Priests reveal God to the world. Which is worship, it's prayer, it's teaching, it's all of these things wrapped up. The goal of Israel is to reveal God to the rest of the world. That's why they were created. That's why God redeemed them out of slavery in Egypt. Well, you can argue that God promised to do that for Abraham. But the purpose of it all is to reveal God, to connect people to who God is. Now, if you read past Exodus, you realize that Israel wasn't very good at that. They abandoned God, they turned to foreign powers, and they went into exile, and they came back, and they built a wall, and they rebuilt a temple, and they got really obsessed about who was in and who was out. And then, this guy Jesus showed up and started teaching them something else. Jesus, we believe, Christians believe, was the incarnate Word of God, the very voice of God personified in a place, in a person, in a human being, the Son of God, who walked among us. Why? Why would God put on flesh? Some people would say so he could die on a cross. I'm going to say probably not. And I realize I'm going to get an email or a phone call or some hate mail just for saying that. Jesus showed up to do what Israel was supposed to do in the first place. To show us God. To communicate who God is and how we could connect with God and why we need to be in relationship with God. To bring back the relationship that was broken. That's why Jesus came. And there's nuances into that atonement theory. We're not getting into all of that. Because we're asking, what's a Christian? A Christian, according to what we read in John just a few minutes ago, is one of Jesus' friends. One of Jesus' beloved community members who walked with him and learned from him, whom Jesus revealed all of God to. And didn't understand it one lick, but kept trying. This is what a Christian is. One of Jesus' friends. If you want a definition to hold on to, a Christian is somebody who reveals God in the world as Jesus did. And for those of you who just woke up, a Christian is someone who reveals God's love in the world as Jesus did. And we do that by loving God and by loving one another in radical ways. That's why we read the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. Christians need to know Jesus so they can reveal God to the world, so they can be like Jesus. But here's the crazy part. We're not good at it. This is why so many people in the world call Christians a bunch of mad hypocrites who don't understand what they're doing. Again, I paraphrase. Because there's less the kind language about us. Here's what I say to that. Yes! We are all hypocrites. If you don't think a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. Because by calling yourself a Christian, you are admitting that you don't know what you're doing and you need God's help. That's what forgiveness is. Our job as Christians is to reveal God and God's love in the same way that Jesus did. That's why when we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses," and we finish with the second clause, you know it, what is it? Right. We want to be forgiven. And we need to pray that prayer because we need to remember that we need to forgive the other people who hurt us just the same way that God forgives us when we hurt Him. Love God, love neighbor. Right? It's in the prayer we all memorized as children. Now, if you were in the church. What's a Christian? A Christian is somebody who loves in the same way that Jesus loved. So what now? Why does this basic building block have to do for us? Why do we even talk about this? Because it's who we are if we call ourselves Christians. And here's the hard part that you may not have picked up on yet. Not everybody understands what Christians are, especially given the definition I just gave. And so we have extra work to do to prove that we are loving, because our God is loving. That we are grace-filled and forgiving, because our God is grace-filled and forgiving. Because Christianity isn't about how many Bible passages you have memorized. It's not about whether you dance or don't dance, or play cards or don't play cards. Christianity isn't even about how many hours you spend in church in your lifetime, in a week, in a day. Christianity is about revealing God in the world. Because that's the whole point of our existence as the body of Christ. And so I ask you, church, how will you love this week? How will you be the body of Christ this week? To whom will you reveal God's love? What stranger will you welcome into your life? What hungry person will you sit with and feed? What voice will you give on behalf of someone who has no voice? Brothers and sisters, the ways that we show God's love in this world is about as nuanced and complex as ice cream. It's not just vanilla or chocolate. It's Chunky Monkey, Cherry Garcia, Black Cherry, Garbage Can. That's what I thought I heard. It's pistachio. It's mint chocolate chip. It's everything. Because God made us beautiful and unique, and we demonstrate and reveal God's love through our uniqueness. So this week, brothers and sisters, go forth and love people and love God so that you may reveal Him in this world. Amen.